Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Why do all things work together for good to those who are called to partake in God's plan or purpose? Well, because all who are called will be glorified. And this text is called the Golden Chain. The title was first used by William Dreyer about 1660, a pastor in London. He wrote a book with the subtitle The Golden Chain. You see, it's a chain of events that cannot be broken, and a chain of events are of great value. The ones God predestines eventually will be in heaven glorified, and the ones who are justified, having received Christ as Savior, they will be glorified. Once God starts this chain of events, it will be completed. So before we even look at the wording in the text, predestined, called, justified, glorified, we must consider the overall message here. What we have here described is a promise, an assurance. It's very similar to Philippians 1:6. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. The Christian cannot lose or forfeit or abandon his salvation, because in salvation, the Christian's nature has been changed by the Holy Spirit in a new birth. God would not have saved anyone in the first place if they were ever to be lost. It's not because we're so good, but it's because God is faithful. A few verses. In fact, there's going to be a lot of verses I'm going to go through here. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. This is God's work, not ours. Isaiah 66:9, shall I bring to the point of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Or shall I, who give delivery, shut the womb, says your God? Also Psalm 138:8, the Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the work of your hands. And of course, he will not. Some other New Testament texts. You know, we know John chapter 10. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. We're secure not because God is in our hand, but because we are in his hand. As the Apostle John teaches in John 5:13, these things I have written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Great assurance we have here. Also, John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, who will bring it to pass. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. See that those who are called gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:10, after you suffer a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. James 1:18, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. He brought us forth. He created within us the new birth. Another great verse in this regard is 1 Corinthians 1:8, who will also confirm you to the end. blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 9. But beloved, we're convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this way. 10:39, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. So this is called the biblical doctrine of the perseverance of the saints and the preservation of the saints. The preservation of the saints is looking at this doctrine from the perspective of God's work. He preserves us in our salvation. The perseverance of the saint is looking at this doctrine from the perspective of the Holy Spirit's work in the life of the believer, where he keeps the believer from denying the faith. So therefore, given all these promises, the apostles would write concerning the Christians that they have confidence that they will do the right thing, that they have confidence that they will continue in the faith. Although the apostles would admonish the Christians to live right, they did have the confidence that they would follow Christ. And such confidence could not be had apart from the doctrine of the perseverance and preservation of the saints. Just a few verses in this regard, Galatians 5:10, Paul says, I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will adopt no other view, but he who is disturbing you will bear his judgment. Or 2 Thessalonians 3:4, we have confidence in the Lord concerning you that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. 2 Corinthians 7:16, I rejoice in everything, I have confidence in you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. And we can have confidence in other believers that the Holy Spirit will take care of them. They will do the right thing, ultimately, either through the discipline of the Lord or the Lord teaching them, but I have confidence that those who are truly born again will grow in the Lord, and they'll do the right thing. Now, however, there are some groups, Christian groups, who believe that the golden chain can be broken by man. This is actually an Arminian, Wesleyan theology, where man's free will is so emphasized that they can't imagine that someone would be prevented in using their free will to walk away from salvation. You know, there's the same confusion also in regard to the will of man, its involvement in leading people to salvation in the first place. But salvation is not just a human decision. It's a radical change of nature. So in Scripture, there are some verses that we can call the you must continue verses. And some interpret those verses to mean that you could lose your salvation if you don't continue in the faith. And one of the primary ones would be Colossians 1:23. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. So therefore, unless you continue in the faith, you're not going to make it to heaven. Or Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, those who endure to the end will be saved. If you don't endure to the end, well, then you will not be saved. And there are some non-confidence verses, such as when Paul writes to the Galatians and he says, I fear that I have labored over you in vain. Now, these verses are easily explained in the light of eternal security verses. From an earthly perspective, those who do not continue in the faith give evidence that they've never been born again in the first place. Colossians 1:23 is a warning to those who make a false profession of faith. But the true Christian is told multiple times in Scripture that by the Spirit of God, he will persevere and he will be preserved. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. They're not part of the body of Christ. And it was made evident in the fact that they had abandoned the faith. So how you fall on this issue of eternal security has a lot to do with which verses you want to focus on. Which verses are you going to let interpret other verses? Are you going to emphasize the security verses, or are you going to emphasize the warning verses? It's very similar to, you know, this debate over Arminianism versus Calvinism. Where's the focus going to be? On the verses that talk more about free will, or on the verses that talk more about election? Are you going to just do a verse count to decide? No, you just need to use some discernment and understand the scripture. I had a professor back in seminary who kind of explained these verses quite well. And I never forgot his explanation. You know, if a father will tell his son to look both ways before he crosses the road. But if that three-year-old runs into the road, the father's going to grab him up and pull him back. Well, if the father is going to save the son, if he runs out into the road, why would the father in the first place tell the son, don't run out on the road? Think about that. If you're going to save the son, why even tell him? Well, part of the sanctification, God uses us in this work of sanctification. Our obedience and these warnings are what God uses to secure us. He has us participate in the perseverance. We have a role to play, but it really is all of Christ. So, this is the promise of the continuation of faith that we see throughout Scripture. The next two verses tells us what the will of God is for the Christian. We read in verse 27, according to the will of God, and then in verse 28, we're called according to his purpose. So what is the will of God? What is the purpose of God? It's not just about your career, where you should live, what house to buy, who you should marry. The main purpose, the will of God for us, is to conform us to the image of Christ. Often we forget that. We were made in God's image, but the image of God was marred. The image of God is now being restored in us. So the point is that morally, we need to become like Christ, to have the same values as Christ, the same concerns, the same purposes, the same loves, the same holiness. And that goal is mentioned throughout the Bible. Here's one verse, John 17:26. I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. So we're to have the same love that God has. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. 1 John 3:2, it says, when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. And Philippians 3:21, he's going to transform the body of our humble estate to the conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. So even our bodies will be like Christ's body. No other image is really acceptable to God except the perfections of Christ. Like the old illustration about the metallurgist who was asked, you know, how do you know when the gold is pure? He says, when I can see my reflection in it. So we should live with the goal of being morally like the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, well, I don't know what God's will for my life is. So we think in terms of housing or career, but we're missing the more important point. The will of God is that we become like Jesus. And we will be an eternal family. Christ is the firstborn, as it mentions here in the text. Among many brethren, so we're going to be a family for all eternity. And Jesus Christ will be the head of the family. Now, some of the words in these verses, you see the word predestined and called and justified and glorified. This was God's predestined plan. Before the foundation of the world, God planned to save a people for himself for all eternity, that he would be glorified by them and he would glorify them. And the predestination of God speaks of the surety of this promise. Those predestined are called. That describes God's work in bringing us to salvation. We often think about saying, well, I'm saved, I'm born again. But there's another word that's very biblical that we should use. We can say, you know, I've been called. I'm not just saved, I'm called. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Do I have that up here? Yes, I have that. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And the idea is that when God calls you, it's a decree of God calling you to salvation. Then the text says we're justified. We've discussed the meaning of this word throughout our study in the book of Romans. It means being declared righteous. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul lists all the benefits of justification from chapter 5 all the way to chapter 8. All who are justified, declared righteous by Christ, will be glorified. I read a great example or illustration of justification by faith this week. Somebody sent me an email. This Christian author and evangelical leader writes this: I have worked in churches and Christian institutions of higher learning all of my life. What a privilege and joy it has been. My colleagues and students have been a joy to work with. And when I hear stories of the difficulties others have in their work environment, I give praise to God for the colleagues and the students with whom I work. Still, it has not been paradise on earth. There is gossip, insensitivity, ambition to get to the top, intellectual pride, and political maneuvering. My interaction with the finest Christians I have ever known convinces me of justification by faith alone. That's good. I keep a file of illustrations and quotes, and that's definitely going to go in there. My interaction with the finest Christians I've ever known convinces me of justification by faith alone. Because we are all a mess, and our justification, our salvation, is by faith. Let's never forget that our salvation is undeserved. We're saved by Christ's righteousness. No matter how far you get in your Christian sanctification and your growth in the Lord, your salvation is still from just Jesus Christ. Finally, we're glorified. Now, we may think of glorified as meaning to be transformed physically into a glorious being. But the word simply means to be honored, to be praised, to be given dignity or esteem. And one of the ways in which we're honored is that the believer will receive an eternal supernatural body. But the point is that we are going to receive honor from God, which is truly an amazing thing. People try to find glory and self-esteem in the attention of the world, in their work, in their own ego needs. But it's only the honor from God that matters. In John chapter 5, Jesus rebuked the people in his day, for they were seeking glory from one another rather than seeking the glory that comes from God. So for all whom God has saved, he is going to honor them. Give them glory. John 17, 22, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. Now notice the past tense here. He also glorified them, he predestined, he justified them. Yet we're not presently glorified. The past tense is used because salvation is being looked at from God's future perspective. So Romans chapter 8, 30 is just a reminder of the great future that we have. I don't understand how those who don't know the Lord cope with the future, having no assurance that there is a glorious future awaiting them. There must be a lot of denial. Maybe they just try not to think about it much. But we who know the Lord have something to look forward to. We never have to fear the future. We can get up every single morning with great confidence because the future will be bright. The will of God is the completion of our salvation. Is that important to know? Of course. Paul's final point in this text is that believers should have that sense of security. Verse 31, God is for us. Verse 32, God will freely give us all things. Verse 33, no one can bring any accusation against those whom God saves. And verse 35, nothing will separate us from the love of God. And we'll look at all that next week.